Thank you that the Bible is your word, that it speaks to us today in a living and active way. And so we will hear your voice speaking to us. Help us by your Spirit's power to know you better. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want a group or a team of people to work together, they all need to know what they're doing. Just imagine if a football team got together, but every member of the team was trying to play a different sport. So you'd have one person with a tennis racket, one person with a cricket bat, one person who picks up the ball and runs with it because it's a funny egg shape, one person who's kicking the ball, you know, all kinds of different ways you could play a game. Would that work very well? No, it would be terrible. It would be awful if everyone was playing by different rules, trying to do different things. But the same thing is true when it comes to the church. When God's people gather together, if we haven't understood why we're here and what we're doing, well then actually we're just going to be like lots of people together trying to play different sports all at the same time. We need to make sure that our goals for Sladebrook Church are God's goals for Sladebrook Church. And so this morning we are just going to zoom in on one verse from our Bible reading to try and discover what we do, how we do it, and why we do it. Those are our goals for Sladebrook. And here's the one verse that we're looking at. I told you it would be on the screen. Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Well, where do we begin? What do we do? Over the next few weeks, we are going to be spending a lot of time getting to know one another. We've already done a bit of that this morning with our little game with the quiz and the books and the colours. And as you spend time getting to know people, you learn more and more about the things that they love and about the things they don't love. So this morning, you probably learned that somebody loves, I don't know, the Book of Ephesians, or Anne of Green Gables was one in one of the groups. You've learned that somebody loves those kind of books. You've probably learned that some people don't like games getting to know you. And that's okay as well. We've learned something about one another. But do you know, sometimes you don't just learn about what people love from the things that they tell you they love. Sometimes you can pick it up in another way. You see, the things that we love are often the things that we talk about the most. I can prove that to you. My son Daniel, all this summer, has been... I won't use you every week, son. Don't worry, it's okay. My son Daniel, all this week, all this summer, has been talking about cricket. You see, you can tell that Daniel loves cricket because he will tell you about players and stats and catches and bowling actions and Duckworth Lewis method and all kind of things. You can tell that he loves cricket because the thing that he talks about lots and lots is cricket. But we won't talk about that too much because Hampshire lost yesterday. Yeah, that's right. Now, it won't be cricket for all of us. Perhaps for you, it's your grandchildren or your pet cat, your favourite hobby, your holidays. Those are the things that you'll talk about a lot. And the things that we talk about a lot are often the things that we love a lot. That is why Paul says at the start of this verse what he does. He is the one we proclaim. Jesus is the one that Paul and the other apostles spent all their time talking about it. That's what it means to proclaim him. Earlier in chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul was talking about how Jesus was at the middle of everything that God was trying to do in his creation. And so if you've got time later, go back and read Colossians 1, 15 to 20. It talks all about Jesus. All about how important he is, that the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, how everything was made through him and for him, how he holds all things together, how God's fullness dwells in him, and how God was reconciling all things to him through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the most important person in God's story. And if that's true, it's no surprise that Jesus is the most important person that Paul and the apostles want to talk about. Everywhere they went, everyone they spoke to, it was Jesus they wanted to talk about because they loved him. Now that's important for us here at Slaybrook Church, isn't it? Because if we love Jesus, and if we think that Jesus is at the center of everything we do, then we are going to make sure that we proclaim Jesus all the time. In other words, we're going to talk about Jesus a lot. We're going to be talking about him in our services. We're going to be talking about him in our songs. We're going to be talking about him in our home groups, in Explorers and youth group. Jesus is going to be the thing we talk about the most because Jesus is the one that we love the most. But we won't just talk about Jesus when we are here together as Christians. We will also make it our aim to proclaim Jesus to other people who don't know him yet. So in our community, in our local area here, there are lots of people who don't know anything about Jesus. We want to tell them about him because we think that Jesus is amazing. What he's done for us in his death on the cross, in rising again, in giving us new life and forgiveness. We want everyone to know that. So what are we going to do? We'll proclaim Christ. But that leads to our next question. How are we going to do it? You know, we know our big goal for Slaybrook is to proclaim him, but we need to understand how we're going to do that. And that's what Paul says next. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. I'm going to be honest. I didn't expect that admonish was the word that we were going to be talking about on our first Sunday together on an all-age service. If I'm honest, admonish, it kind of sounds like a brand of furniture polish, doesn't it? So we're going to need to do some work if we are going to understand what Paul means when he says he's admonishing people. And that's all right, because I've got a bunch of kids who are probably getting a bit antsy now and want something to do. So, kids, can you help me out? I can't remember how many people I need, but it won't just be kids, it'll be adults as well. I need you each to come and hold up a sign, because I've got a little message here on paper. And so I need some volunteers to come and stand up here. Yeah, come on. I need at least 12 of you probably. So stand in a line and I'll give you one by one. Okay, you've got to stay in this order. Zoe? Okay. There's one for you guys. You're going to hold those. Going to make sure it's next. Hold it nice and high, Pippi. Guys, you don't all have to hold it quite as high, but try and be the same level for everyone. Oh, okay, I need two more. Two more. Excellent work, thank you. Right, guys, hold it up so that everyone can see. Try and keep them on the same level. Can you see? Oh, you're going to have to hold it in the middle there, Mo. Otherwise it folds over. Yeah, there we go. Right, can you see what the message is? Less judo, sir. Do you think that's the message that I pass on to you this morning? I haven't done any judo in my PE lessons. There's something not quite right here, is there? Our messages got scrambled up. Our minds by order. The only way we're going to get the proper message is if somebody can come along and set our thinking straight, put things in the right order. So we're shuffling. Oh, does anyone think they can shuffle? Anyone who watches Countdown is good at the Countdown conundrum? Anyone got the anagram? Okay, I'll start you off. The first letter is J. So, Rosanna, you can go to the start. Okay, everyone else, shuffle up. Jesus? You think Jesus might? Okay, right, brilliant. Okay, so Zoe's going to go this way. So, we've got J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Jesus. Is? Jesus is? So, yeah, you come. Yeah, Lucy and Joel. All right, brilliant. Okay. There you go. Okay. What is the message that I really wanted to pass on?
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Now, brilliant. Thank you. A big round of applause to my helpers. Now, did you notice? When we started off, the message was all scrambled, we had some information, but it didn't quite work together, did it? What we needed was someone to help us put our thinking straight, to put things in the right order. And that is what it means for someone to admonish you. The job of someone who admonishes someone else is to tell you where you've got it wrong and help you put things right. Now, that happens all the time, doesn't it? So your teachers at school, when you're doing maths or your spelling, they will tell you if you've made a mistake and show you how to put it right. Or perhaps it's our parents when we're trying to load the dishwasher and they say, no, don't put that there, put it here, and then it'll all work together. Or perhaps it's our children who are correcting us when we embarrassingly use slang in the wrong way because we don't understand the way that Gen Z talk. Or perhaps it's just when you're driving your car and the person in the passenger seat tells you how you should reverse park instead of how you're actually doing it. We're all used to being admonished, aren't we? All of us get times where we have to get our thinking put right because we aren't thinking the right way. And when it comes to Jesus, that's really important. Because if we've got our thoughts wrong about who he is, we'll be asking for less judo instead of saying that Jesus is Lord. You see, the apostles, Paul and the other guys, they had to spend their time correcting wrong views about Jesus. People who had the wrong things in their heads. They needed to know who he is and what he came to do. They needed to repent of the wrong things they were thinking and to trust in him. They needed to be admonished. Now, sometimes at Slaybrook, we are going to need to be corrected when our thoughts about Jesus aren't in the right order. And we need to remember right now that that is a good thing, even though it might be a painful thing. It's more important that our thoughts are right about Jesus than we can feel comfortable getting it wrong. Now, maybe you've started to believe that God will only love you if you do something for him. So when you've had a really bad day, God doesn't love me today. Maybe you've started to think that something that God has said in his word, the Bible, is sin and wrong, would actually be okay for you to do. It's good that we get corrected when we've started to think things the wrong way. Now, all of us will have little things that we haven't got quite right that we need putting right. And I'm including myself in that. I need to learn to know Jesus better. So it's really important that we will admonish. But before we think that Paul is just a nasty person who goes around telling people how they're wrong all the time, remember there's another word. What was the other word? Admonishing and teaching. That's a bit easier to understand, isn't it? All of us have probably been to school and had teachers, or we've been to a class. A teacher, their job is to help us know things that we didn't know before. It's about science and history, or reading, writing, and arithmetic. But a good teacher doesn't just try and cram information into our brains. A good teacher wants us to use that knowledge. So, a good teacher helps you to hold so that you can form words, write letters. A good teacher will teach you to hold the clarinet and blow into it in just the right way so that it makes a lovely sound. A good teacher will enable you to take information and turn it into action. You see, Paul doesn't just want people whose brains are full of Jesus, people who are full of Jesus. That's why he teaches them with all wisdom. Now, if we know our Bibles, we'll know that wisdom is knowledge that comes from God that shows us how to live his way in his world. And no one in this room has all the wisdom in God's world. All of us have more we need to learn. And so that's why Paul says he admonishes and teaches everyone with all wisdom. Because we all have more to learn. Whether we are the smartest person here or the oldest person here, whoever we are, we've got more to learn about Jesus. I hope you can see why that matters for us here at Slaybrook Church. We need to make it our goal to admonish and teach everyone. It's not just people out the door there who need to get their thinking right about Jesus. It's us in here too. It's not just new Christians who need to be taught about the gospel. All of us need to keep being taught by God's word. People who have believed have not learned all there is to know about Jesus. It's just the beginning. So we proclaim Christ by admonishing and teaching. Last one. Okay, one more. One more goal for us to learn. Why do we do it? Why is this
the things that we're going to be doing as a church? Well, the answer is found at the end of our verse. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. I'm sure that when it was announced that today was going to be an all-age service, some of you thought I was absolutely bonkers for suggesting that. But actually, it's a really good thing for us to all be together. Because as you look around the room today, you can see people from all kinds of different stages of life, can't you? So we've got sleeping babies over here. And we've got toddlers playing with toys at the back. And we've got kids who are scribbling on their page. And yeah, they might be scribbling something about what I'm saying, or they might be just drawing a picture. And that's fine. And we've got older people who are listening. And we've got adults and grown-ups and older grown-ups. And even older grown-ups too. And it's great that everyone is here together, because it reminds us that actually all of us are on life's journey progressing through. We all started off like Sammy over there. All of us were a baby once upon a time. And we've got to where we are today by growing up, by developing, becoming who we are. Now, that's not just true of our bodies, our physical bodies. It is true of our spiritual lives too. Paul wants everyone he speaks to about Jesus to grow up as a follower of Jesus. So that one day, when they meet Jesus face to face, they will be made perfect. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise, because that is exactly what God has been talking about doing as well. So Colossians 1 verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. God wants to make us perfect, and that's why Jesus came. Paul now wants to help people to grow so that they are perfect, perfectly grown up in Jesus. That means Paul's got some pretty big ambitions, doesn't he? And that's a really good thing. It means he's not going to quit proclaiming Christ, talking about Jesus, just when someone becomes a Christian. Oh, job done, they're here at church, we don't have to worry anymore. No, we've got to keep going. Keep learning about Jesus, keep learning about what it means to be a follower of him. You don't make just a little bit of progress in our Christian lives. We all need to keep growing until we are fully mature, perfect, nothing more to learn. And whether you are 5 or 95, you've still got more growing to do. Just check around the room for me a second. Have a look around at the people you can see here. Can anyone spot any perfect Christians in the room? Anyone that's not got any more growing to do? Well, I'm afraid there are none of us yet. We are all somewhere along our journey of getting to know Jesus better, starting to put our trust in him. Some of you, kids, next week when you head out to Explorers, your leaders are going to be helping you to do this, to grow, to know Jesus better. Those of us who have been followers of Jesus for a long time, though, we need to carry on growing, learning more about Jesus. We are not the finished article. So, there are things that we need to learn, ways that we need to grow, if we are going to be fully mature in Christ. That is why it is our goal to proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we might present everyone mature in Christ. Let me pray for us, and then Nigel and Frederica are going to come and lead us in some more prayers together as a church family. But let me just pray for God's word. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word shows us what our aim should be as a church family. Help us to talk a lot about Jesus. Help each of us to learn the ways that our thinking is wrong and needs to be put right. Help us to learn what it means to live for him, not just know about him. And we pray that you would help all of us to grow to maturity in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.